You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. I've laid out my blueprints for our Christmas. It's a giant Rube Goldberg machine, and I'm bringing it to the government to get it patented tomorrow. It's going to be the biggest thing ever, Christmas. That's right. It was the man who invented Christmas.
Ah, humbug.
An elaborate, complex plan. So crazy, it just might work. No, really, it's the story of Charles Dickens.
Yeah. It's the story of how Charles Dickens made the story that also is the... the origin story of Scrooge McDuck.
I guess that's one way of looking at it.
This is actually an adaptation of a short book, which I have not read, but I did a little research because I wanted to know. I was curious. It is a short book, a somewhat scholarly work, although very accessible, about how Charles Dickens's Christmas Carol influenced how we celebrate Christmas to this day.
It's so weird to think that, like, Christmas, which is definitely, you know, one of the biggest holidays, yeah, if not the biggest holiday in America, was not that long ago considered kind of a minor holiday.
Even
outright rejected by the church.
Easter was the big Christian holiday, and Christmas was, you know, it was there.
But, you know, Dickens, who at this point in his life, with Dan Stevens, the great Dan Stevens, playing Charles Dickens, he's still a young man. He had a huge success with Oliver Twist, where he can go and tour and people want to hear him speak. He's touring America, even, you know, like, people love his stuff. But his last couple books have been kind of a disappointment, to put it mildly. And he's kind of freaking out about what to do next, when he basically, through a series of, like, I feel like there should be a term for it that's something like meet cutes and romantic comedies, but that sort of noticing things around him in his real life that give him ideas.
It's analogous to, like, Shakespeare in Love, where every character he meets or every random conversation, he's like, ooh, that's good.
Thing. I'm writing that down. What's your name? Marley? That's a great name.
After a while, you start suspecting that Charles Dickens never wrote anything. He just transcribed.
Well, isn't that what a good writer does?
But that book was about this phenomenon, and what they've done here is, I imagine it's a rather free adaptation where they're like, well, rather than just go into boring articles about the sales of turkey post, you know, or how Queen Victoria introduced, you know, Christmas trees into England, they're like, let's focus on whatever this genre is that Chris is trying to coin. Let's focus on that type of story instead.
What they want to make here is a family Christmas movie.
Right.
And I think on that level, this works just fine.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something, if you were, like, taking a class in this period of literature and you wanted to know more about Charles Dickens. No, this is a magical realism, family-friendly Christmas movie that is kind of cute, boasts an extremely strong performance by Christopher Plummer as the imagined version of Ebenezer Scrooge. And, you know, with Dan Stevens, you know, really kind of hamming it up as the desperate writer who's put himself into a impossible time crunch about a story that no one has any confidence in, because, like I said, at that point, nobody gave a fuck about Christmas in England, and him having conversations with his characters as he dreams them up, with having actors come in to play all the characters in the books, with him sort of writing the book by talking to these imaginary characters.
It's kind of a cross between Shakespeare in Love and A Beautiful Mind.
I didn't imagine a guy who's in
meeting all these people and getting ideas, but he is also having conversations with his hallucinations.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect about this movie when I first was about to watch it, because the name of it, The Man Who Invented Christmas, sounds like it wants to be something serious at first, but then as soon as it starts, yeah, this thing is very much a family comedy that would probably replayed on ABC Family every year kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays out just like that as it progresses.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's lighthearted, to be sure. I think it's, like, smart enough to get some good actors to play these roles in this. And it also eventually gets around to having some proper pathos in it, which is based on his relationship with his actual father.
As well as his actual past.
His father, John Dickens, played here by Jonathan Pryce, which was a complicated relationship because his father, who was one of those, you know, I guess he's analogous to Tiny Tim's father in a sort of way.
Well,
is like always just kind of trusting in the best of people and everything's going to work out. And in fact, when Charles was very young, his father went to debtor's prison and Charles had to go work in a children's workhouse, which yeah. was a nightmare experience.
There's a reason why child labor laws exist.
Exactly. Despite the fact that Republicans regularly trying to bring them back up as if maybe we should rediscuss this issue.
Yeah. People really want to do some weird shit,
but like, that does bring into the third act a certain amount of pathos as the film starts amping up with him start realizing I have no fucking clue how to end this thing. And if I can't nail the end in like a night, I'm screwed. We're like really, really screwed in this
situation.
I feel
like it sort of jumps up though is my problem with the conflict in the third act is that because everything moves so amazingly smoothly for him for the first two acts that out of nowhere, he's just like, everything sucks all of a sudden. And you're just like, but what, like, how did this, how did you get to this point? Because I feel like there's a sequence missing in between where it slowly becomes that realization. Instead, he just immediately has that realization and is then yelling at imaginary characters for another, like, 20 minutes.
I mean, I do that all the time, but not usually because of a time crunch.
Yeah. And they draw that parallel with Dickens being, in a way, a little bit Scrooge himself. You know, he's generous, you know, but he's not always making the right decisions and he gets cranky and he takes it out on his family, on the people who work for him. And, you know, of course, this father who he feels is kind of like traumatized him because of, you know, his financial insecurity. You're right, though, Michael. I think that kind of comes into the third act and suddenly he's like, oh, my God, I'm becoming that guy.
It felt like it needed to work its way into it more gradually. Yeah. This movie needed more Jonathan Pryce in it.
It really
so
did.
Those aspects came into it earlier because ultimately it is this guy, a writer at war with himself, who can't realize the answer is right in front of him, that missing piece to Scrooge is something that is actually right in, that he himself has and he can't make peace with, right. Which would be feel like in a more serious film would have been a more, much more interesting discovery. But here it does. It feels like a little bit third act magic.
That's the thing about that sequence is that it feels like it came from a different movie entirely. Especially with the way the first two acts just play out, like I said, like an ABC Family comedy, where that little chunk where he, I guess spoiler-wise, he revisits the workhouse he used to, you know, work at kind of thing. It's like, it feels like that came from a completely different type of movie because it just gets really serious all of a sudden.
Yeah, it gets dark because otherwise this movie would have no conflict in it, quite frankly. There is no real conflict other than early on, oh, I'm having trouble figuring out what to write next, but then he almost immediately in the movie starts grasping what he's going to write about next, so then there's no conflict for an act and a half.
Yeah, because that's the thing that, like, it needed to gradually get to the actual issue at hand in the third act because everything moves so smoothly. It's just that, like, literally at the drop of a dime, he becomes Scrooge all of a sudden, kind of thing. And then everyone's like, yeah, you've been Scrooge this whole time. And sure, it points out some stuff early on in the film that can be pointed to that. But there's so much like him being the sweet, generous dude in between that. Like, yeah, that's like a guy who has a bad day for a second. So why are you giving him shit
for it?
The
movie acts like it's a Fight Club reveal or something.
Yeah, it acts like he was Brad Pitt the whole time.
Charles Dickens, you are Tyler Durden.
You know, this feels like more than anything is a very nice, handsomely mounted BBC Christmas special that somehow got a theatrical release. And for the first 30 minutes, I kept waiting for Doctor Who to show up.
I know, I was going to say the same thing. It has
where's the Doctor? And then Simon Callow shows up, and I'm like, oh, wait, Simon Callow already played Dickens in a Doctor Who Christmas special. What's going on here? It is very nice. It's a pleasant. I sound like I'm damning it with faint praise.
But I mean, you are because that is kind of like accurate.
It's inoffensive. It's a slightly meta approach to a story that
movie.
We all know. And I have to be honest, I am a big fan of A Christmas Carol. I've been all my life, but I also kind of hate it too.
Well, yeah, we've seen every
possible
version of it.
Every year it gets remade with different versions.
And then people act like you're a jerk if you don't want to, like, go to a local production of it or something. You're like, what are you, a Scrooge?
I've worked on three or four. Okay. I have, like, friends who are doing these shows. I have a friend who does a one-woman Christmas Carol. I get it. It's a moneymaker.
I was about to say, how does that work, but never mind.
It works just like Patrick Stewart does it, except it's a woman telling the story. She's a professional storyteller.
I didn't even realize there was anybody somebody who had done a one-person version of
no,
it.
No, Patrick Stewart famously did that.
I did not know.
And he just plays all the characters. He tells you this story, and he just shifts into character.
Is he Tiny Tim at any point?
I'm sure he is. He's Patrick Stewart. He can be anybody he wants. But, you know, the thing about this story is it is so sentimental. And Dickens conceived of it as a kind of message story about the poor. He wanted to get people, you know, off their asses, basically, yeah, do something for the working poor.
He was famously a philanthropist and an idealist.
And he referred to it as a sledgehammer against poverty. And when you refer to your own work as a sledgehammer, that tells you you're not dealing in subtlety.
No. And it, I mean,
a lot of his books are like that.
Christmas Carol, well, yeah, a lot of his books, they're not dealing with subtlety. No. They're all like social fairy tales, but really good ones.
Yeah.
And sure enough, this worked. I mean, as the end credit scroll tells you in this film, like the amount of like donations to charity went up by a ridiculously huge amount immediately after this novel was published to great acclaim. Sadly, Dickens never ended up making a huge amount of money off it.
No, because it was such a nice version. They make a big point in the movie of like, it's got to have the best paper, the best illustrations. Yeah. You know, the first printing sold out, but it was so expensive to produce, he barely made any money.
It was less that than the fact that all these people started bootlegging it and selling
it. Happened too.
And then they'd catch them, and the guys wouldn't have enough money to make it worth to take anything from them. So it was like, and he was firmly against sending anyone to debtor's prison as well.
Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, right? Exactly. So it was like kind of a problem. But, you know, I mean, he ended up being fine. Believe me, by the end of his life, Charles Dickens was he never was not flush with cash.
Yeah. He just wasn't always very good at handling it. And you see some of that, you know, he's living beyond his means. He has a nice wife. He just found out he's got a fifth child coming along. So, yeah, he's a little under the crutch.
I did want to call the actress who plays his wife, Morfydd Clark, who I was not familiar with, but I thought she was wonderful in this.
Oh, yeah.
She was pretty good. Really lovely young girl, and she just brings the right amount for this type of film of sort of like both total love and affection and disapproval when necessary.
Yeah. Who played the maid, by the way? What was the
A young actress who was playing the maid. I am not sure. I think it was it Miriam?
No, Miriam Margolyes was not it.
No, that is not
it. She's an older lady.
Yeah, but yeah, the young maid who he's kind of telling these, using as his, like, I want to see how a child responds to these stories and these ideas and running past her, who has got that sort of wide-eyed idealism. Yeah.
And she brings him, like, some Irish folk tales. Because that's another thing. I mean, if you think about it, Christmas Carol is pretty free of religion.
Yeah.
It's a fairly a-religious text. The whole idea of, like, ghosts of Christmas past, present, future, that's something that he completely made up.
Yeah, it never tells you to,
there was no tradition of that.
It never tells you to, like bow to a god or anything in the story at all.
It's always about what can other human beings do for other human
beings.
Like,
even in the future point, like, it's like, yeah, this is your grave, but he never once is just like, I swear to God or whatever. He's like, no, I just don't want to die.
Well, Tiny Tim does say, God bless us, everyone.
He does. It's not totally a-religious.
No, it couldn't be at this point in time.
Yeah, based on certain things, though.
I mean, ultimately, I think Dickens was kind of secular in the sense that he thought, there may be a God, but what's important is like what the message was, what we do for ourselves, not waiting around for God to
exactly.
do something.
It never really points at which God it really
Well, it is Christmas. It's kind of baked
into
the title. Let's keep the collie in Christmas, all right?
He said the truth was he was just after those stones, man. He was just trying to get those stones.
That is a poor, that is an inaccurate representation of the Hindu god of death. I just want you to know. But seriously, though, I love Christmas Carol, but I also hate it, as I said, because I'm a sucker. It is easy to make me cry. You show me that little crutch in the corner.
Oh, it gets me every fucking time. And that's why you don't want to go through it again every time.
Exactly.
You're like, I'm not going to learn anything new from this.
Right.
It's just going to pull on those same fucking heartstrings.
And it's like, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is push the buttons and it works. You're really not having to put an effort. So I give credit to this film for actually doing a good execution, taking a slightly fresh approach. It is a little meta. But it's at least a different version, a different telling of A Christmas Carol. And I think for that alone, it's probably worth checking out once. Maybe this will become a regular staple every Christmas, but only time will tell whether it's going to be a new classic of the season. But, you know, it's worth checking out
like
for a matinee.
Sounds like a final thought. So.
It is definitely going towards the final thoughts.
What's your rating then?
I would have to say, in spite of any qualms I had, I enjoyed this. So I give it a passable grade of 7 out of 10 little crutches.
Dragon Ball Z, Michael?
Yeah, so the movie
itself...
What's
your new name now? It's gonna
I'm totally okay with that. So depending on my jacket, just base it on that. Well, the movie itself, yeah, it's a perfectly passable movie. It is a lot of fun at times. Like, it is meta in some of the things that it does. It really is a retelling of A Christmas Carol even at the same time, because every now and then, you know, he'll think to his past, he'll look to his present, and then he'll think to his future kind of thing. And the people around him sometimes are, in fact, that ghost, whether or not he even used them in the story that way kind of thing. Like, every time he sees his dad, he thinks of his past. Every time he looks at his family, he thinks of his present kind of thing. And then he thinks to his future just purely because he's like, I don't know if I can do this kind of thing.
Yeah, his own uncertainty.
And it really works that way, especially with the characters, you know, constantly bickering at him when he's writing them themselves. Like, at one point he goes, they're not listening to me anymore. He's like, I'm writing this thing and they're not paying attention to what I want them to do.
Right.
That's very much part of his character at the end of the day. But the movie itself, like, the way it plays out, you know, it plays out exactly the way you expect it to, because, you know, it has to. The thing that really does make it kind of ABC Family is the text at the beginning and the end kind of thing, because it feels like the thing that would happen at the end of a cable TV show where it's like, and then this happened kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it was fun. I would definitely show this to somebody if they needed something to watch on Christmas real quick, or if it was on TV, I'd be like, you know, it's not that bad. Watch it if you don't feel like watching, you know, A Christmas Carol for the billionth time, or Scrooge like I do every year kind of thing. Like, it would be worth putting on for your family at the end of the day. I would also give a very passable score of 7.5 out of 10 weird little montages of trying to get money.
I know it's de rigueur to say that, oh, my Christmas film is Die Hard, which, whatever, that's fine. But, I do watch it often at Christmas, although I've these years kind of transitioned more in that vein of Christmas movies to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
It's a good movie.
But,
if you haven't seen it, watch
my
Kiss
movie
Kiss
that movie. I think, I, you know, neither one of those movies I really think of Christmas. That's more like sort of ironic.
They're just good movies.
Nudge, nudge. Yeah. I actually, the movie, I like my favorite movie that really does have a Christmas feel to it that is nonetheless still cynical and funny is The Wrath. That's the one I love to come back to. I think that one's great. It really is about just, it's Christmas time. Get over that family bullshit. But yeah, this is an inoffensive, kind of charming, but not overwhelmingly so. It's missing flying sky sharks, but you know, which is an integral part of the Dickens Christmas Carol story. Wait, that's the Doctor Who version. Sorry.
Missing Scrooge McDuck, but that's just me.
That's still my favorite version. But you know, like I said, it is what it is. I think in certain circles, this could definitely become a new classic for Christmas in that sense of like, you know, yeah, it's fine. You can show it with your kids, like, who may have seen A Christmas Carol enough times already, and this is a fun, different take on it. And it also, to some degree, is dealing with the whole idea of the writer's process and things, but in such a magical realism kind of silly way, it never even takes it super seriously at all.
It never even explains how he invents Christmas. Yeah. It kind of drops the premise of the book.
But it's inoffensive and lightly fun, and I give it 7 out of 10 biggest Christmas turkeys at the market.
I want to change my original version of the rating. So I want to say it's 7.5 out of 10 times I'll probably watch it on ABC Family, actually.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
God bless us, everyone.
No, monkey
Except
bless us.
Except you.
Monkey bless us, everyone.
No blessings for you.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.